Hello, everybody. This is Elena from Lena's Way to Health and now Ricci Wellness Studio with Eat the Pasta. I'm continuing this series and this podcast because I really want to bring together the cultural differences and also the similarities within nutrition, exercise, and lifestyle, and all of those factors that encompass health, right? There's so much out there. So let's delve a little deeper. Today, I want to talk about one of the trending things in health on social media and just everywhere, you know, in supplement companies and the way things are being marketed. And also its relation to countries around the world and the, you know, the old school cultural lifestyle factors and how it may contribute to health and what that means. So the topic today is glucose and your blood sugar. So everyone's talking about this and it's great to be talking about this. The reason why this has been a trending topic in health is because of the rising rates of pre-diabetes and diabetes in the U.S. right now. A data just came out that there is a really high incidence of pre-diabetes in teens and young children right now, which is really surprising. And, you know, I think it's great that people are now being educated on preventative health measures and kind of trying to reverse this, which we do know that type 2 diabetes can be basically reversed with diet and exercise alone. Maybe not the complications if you've already had complications of type 2 diabetes that, you know, like nerve pain and kidney disease. That is already in the late stages that can't really be reversed. But I wanted to talk about blood glucose and how in other countries or cultural dishes that some of these things that you can implement to lower a blood sugar spike have already been, you know, instilled in these cultures around the world. So first, let's talk about the basic science of glucose, what it is, and what your blood sugar is. So, blood sugar is in the form of glucose. So, glucose is a simple sugar, a simple carbohydrate that's made up of two molecules. So, glucose is free form sugar, which is an energy source for our body that goes in our blood, right? And it circulates in our blood until you use this energy. And what happens is if you're not using the energy, the body goes in to store it into your muscles. Now, it can also be stored into your fat if you're not using it. So there is, when you're eating enough carbs, you easily form glucose. So it takes that sugar, it forms glucose. You either use it right away. So if you eat, if you eat a donut and you go for a walk, you're going to burn off the carbs and the glucose from that donut that you just ate. If you just walk after, if you don't do any activity and you're not going to use any energy, your body will store it in the form of glycogen in your muscles and your fat cells. So your muscles will store this. It actually helps, you know, to gain muscle mass. Everyone talks about protein, but so does muscle mass building. So it's really important to have a higher carb intake with a protein intake when you're trying to build muscle and muscle mass. And you know, when you're not using it in your muscles, it can then be stored in your fat. So when you have way too much glycogen stores, your muscle can't hold it. It goes into fat storage. And your endurance runners will use the glycogen in your muscles and then it'll go into the fat storage. When you're fasting, for long periods of time, over 16 hours into 24 hours, use up that glycogen in your fat. So when you're not getting enough carb intake, so when you're on a low carb diet, you're on a keto diet, right? You're having high fat, high protein, no carbs. Your body still makes glucose in a process called gluconeogenesis, which is a process that takes fatty acids and turns it into glucose, which is a preferred source of energy that your body uses. So when that happens, it's a slower process and you're not spiking your blood sugar. You know, if you look at a chart, it's not a peak, it's not a high mountain peak and a high drop fall. It is a slower progression. But when you're intaking a lot of carbs at once or a lot of simple sugars that are in processed foods, or, you know, just a straight up candy, simple sugar candy, or, you know, juices, that's when you see that mountain fall, right? So your blood sugar spikes, it goes, floods your bloodstream, and then there's a drop. When this happens, you will have more hunger, you will, you know, you'll have lots of energy, and then your energy will crash after a while, maybe in 1 to 2 hours, and then you'll start to feel hungry, right? Because your body's like, hey, where's all that energy we just had? So simple sugars can be great if you're an athlete or you're going for a workout after, right? You're going to burn it off. You're going to use that energy super fast, okay? Or earlier in the day when you are going to work, you're going to use up all that energy. So if you pair those simple sugars or carbs, right? Like a piece of toast. If you pair it with protein, fiber, or fat, that mountain will have maybe a slower peak and it'll have a slower drop fall. So you'll be satisfied for longer and your energy won't crash. So you'll have that sustained energy, right? So pairing the piece of toast with avocado for healthy fats, or nuts, or, you know, an apple with protein powder. And of course, the apple, the fruits have fiber, keeping the skin on the apple. Apples have sugar, so you will, you know, it's still a sugar product. If you keep the skin on, that's great, because you're adding the fiber and that will lower the blood sugar spike. So fiber, protein, or fat will lower that blood sugar spike. So it is great to add those things when you're pairing a carb. So to maintain your blood sugar levels, we always say to pair a carb with a protein, fat, or enough fiber. And, you know, times a day, your blood sugars can spike. And this varies depending on the person. It depends on your stress levels, your activity levels, how much you're sleeping, and when you're going to sleep. And for women, it can even be different at different times during their menstrual cycle. When their estrogen is higher, your glucose may get higher. So it kind of depends as well. In the mornings, your blood sugar can kind of spike to kind of wake you up, right? So when you're eating and coming off a fast, right, whether it's 8 hours or 12 hours, like a 12-hour fast, you want to break your fast with not just carb. Try not to focus just on carb. You want to focus on a protein, a fat, and then some carb. Or just pairing the carb with the protein, fat, and fiber, like we said before. So don't just reach for a croissant or a piece of toast. Maybe that's why they added butter to croissants in France, right? So we're getting a balanced meal. It satisfies your hunger a little more. Your blood sugar is not spiking. Or in Italy, they started to put mortadella, prosciutto, and cheese in there, right? So, you know, even though those are processed meats and that can increase the rates of heart disease and there's too much sodium, saturated fats, preservatives, that's another talk. So I think that's also an issue that, you know, people just focus on like one topic, like, oh, let's control my blood sugar levels and I'll lose weight. Well, you know, what else are you having? Are you having too much fat now? Are you having too much saturated fat from cheeses and meats because you're trying to increase your protein and lower your carb? Now that's going to give you an even greater risk of cardiovascular disease, or your labs may change. You may have higher LDL now and higher triglycerides and higher cholesterol, which, you know, is not good for your sugar as well, because now your body's getting into like an inflammatory state. So there's so many things to balance and juggle, but I do think controlling your glucose levels can be a way to prevent diabetes and also prevent weight gain and preventing that insulin sensitivity. So what is insulin sensitivity? All right, insulin is a really cool, awesome hormone that comes out, it rushes into the bloodstream when glucose or when sugar is rushing into the bloodstream. So once you eat, insulin is already going to be activated, no matter if you eat just protein shake or just fat. Okay, so it's not just carbs that activate insulin. Some foods that are high in protein, like red meat, can actually increase your insulin levels. So it's not just sugar that you eat. So your insulin will spike when you eat, right? It comes out, and what it does is it takes the glucose, especially the one that's not being used. So if you use it right away, insulin's still coming in, and it's going to grab some and store it, right? So it's going to take it to those muscles. It's going to take it to the fat cells once it is, you know, turned into the process of the storage form in the liver. So insulin does that. So when your glucose is spiking too much, right, you're eating too many carbs or eating too many simple sugars with not enough fat, protein, you're not using the energy, you're sedentary, you're eating every hour, you're snacking, the glucose spikes, your insulin keeps spiking, keeps coming. And that's what happens with diabetes. Your insulin gets tired, right? It's like, okay, I've had enough. And it desensitizes in a way. So that can be a bad thing. So having space between your meals is another thing. You know, when I'm talking to weight loss clients or clients that have pre-diabetes or diabetes, or they're just trying to prevent it because it is a genetic risk factor for them, I try to tell them, you know, keep a time frame between meals, like 2 to 4 hours at least. You know, having tiny meals every 2 hours is not really necessary unless you are a like high performing athlete, unless your job is a very physical 8-hour-a-day physical labor job. I don't recommend that. I do recommend 4 to 6 even hour windows. And I do recommend looking into intermittent fasting where you're burning storage energy. So, you know, that can help reduce the risk of insulin sensitivity. And intermittent fasting, more and more studies are showing that it is reducing the risk of intermittent fasting is reducing the risk of diabetes and insulin sensitivity as well. So that is something to look at when you are trying to lose weight or reduce your insulin sensitivity. So I think it's super important that we, you know, look at the whole picture and also look at your health in general and what your health really entails, right? So what are your health goals? What are the conditions that are risk factors for you, your genetic predisposition? What do your labs look like? You know, we see a lot of people using glucose monitors. Maybe is that right for you? Not sure. But I wanted to talk about, like I said, the tips to reduce your glucose and how that's been used in a lot of cultural dishes and countries around the world. If we look at Italy, they'll have appetizers of grilled vegetables, even some mini salads, but there's some like grilled eggplants there, or made in any way, peppers, eggplants, even tomatoes. So those are vegetables, and vegetables have a lot of fiber, water content, and they're low in carbs, mostly the non-starchy carb vegetables. So this is helping your blood sugar levels. So the fiber is causing slow digestion. So your blood sugar is not going to spike. It's also going to fill your stomach. Those non-starchy insoluble fibers will fill your stomach, that you'll kind of feel full before that meal. But once you eat a high starchy carb after, that's a great tip. I always tell people there's an order: veggies first, then protein, fats, and then your carbs, your starchy carbs, like your rice, your pastas, and your potatoes. So in other countries, you know, in the Middle East, they have these spices and herbs. Lebanese cuisine, they have tabbouleh, which is, you know, parsley, tomato, onion. So those vegetables are before or on the side of your plate that you usually have before. There's dolmas, grape leaves that, you know, have fiber and they're wrapped with veggies inside. So a lot of these cultures have veggies first, and they've had them for a while. So if you kind of look back at your own culture and see, oh, hey, you know, we did have this, and why it's of significant importance. I think it's so important to look back at, you know, our own cultural dishes and seeing, hey, why were they made this way? You know, they kind of were pretty balanced. So balancing your blood sugar can be, in fact, important for weight loss, prevention of prediabetes, and just many other things. But also be aware to balance your fat as well, to make sure that you're not overdoing it while you lower those carbohydrates. So thanks for listening to my short and sweet podcast today. And listen up for more tips and tricks for cultural health and overall longevity.